Sometimes the opening prayer at Mass passes on to us a theological lesson that's important for us to think about. So I'd like to talk a bit about the opening prayer and then speak about the scripture readings. If I were to ask you to remember your catechism when you were a small child and to tell me what the three theological virtues are, how many of you could tell me? I see a couple of hands, not very many. We used to have to memorize those things when we were kids. But they're easy to remember because we hear them so often. The theological virtues are faith, hope, and charity. And they're part of our opening prayer. Now, the reason they're called theological virtues is because they're not the, you know, a virtue is a habit we acquire of doing good. Like a vice is a habit we acquire of doing evil. So virtues are good habits. But they're called theological virtues because they're not the kind of virtues we acquire by our own efforts. They are a gift to us from the Holy Spirit. And that's what the opening prayer tells us. It says here, "Show favor, O Lord, to your servants," that's to us, "and mercifully increase the gifts of your grace, that, made fervent in hope, faith, and charity, they may be ever watchful in keeping your commands." So they're seen as graces. A grace is something God gives us that we don't deserve, right? We don't deserve anything, of course. But a grace is an undeserved gift from God. And the theological virtues are faith, hope, and charity. And they're the foundation of Catholic Christian moral life. That's what makes us moral people, that we embrace faith, hope, and charity. So a brief definition of each one. What is faith? Faith is believing God and also believing the things He tells us. Faith is not just a list of things that we believe, but it's believing the one who teaches us, believing God and believing the things that He tells us. Okay? Hope is confidence in God's future. Someone who has hope is someone who believes that no matter what's going on in your life or in the world around us, God is in charge, and God, who loves us as His children, intends good for us. So hope is about the future, whether it's tomorrow or the next day or eternity. It's having confidence in God's care for us in the future. And love, of course, we all think we know what that is, charity. It really means committing ourselves to God with all our whole mind, our heart, our soul, all that we are, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And you can see why these are considered foundational qualities. You know, Christians are women and men who believe, who hope in God, and who love God and who love their neighbor. Basic kind of things. Not complicated, but very difficult. And so we have to pray for the gifts of faith, hope, and love in our lives, because we can't acquire those on our own. They're gifts of God. So we ask God to bless each one of us here with a deeper faith, a firmer hope, and a truer love in the days that lie ahead. Now, we look at today's scripture readings. As you know, the first reading almost always indicates to us the basic theme of the Mass. There's a correspondence between the first reading and the Gospel. So what about this reading from the Book of Wisdom will help us understand the parables of Jesus in our Gospel this evening? This passage is a passage from the Book of Wisdom, which was written about 100 years before the birth of Christ. And it was written to a Jewish community that was struggling with their environment. They were surrounded by Greeks, the classic culture of the time. And they were tempted by that culture to leave Judaism and become like their neighbors, become like everyone else, to become secular rather than to be religious. And many of the Jewish people were abandoning the Jewish synagogue and the temple for that culture supported by the Greeks. And so into their lives, into the lives of the Jews, God spoke this word. And listen to what He says. He puts these words in the mouth of believers. Okay, this is a passage that describes what believers would say to the true God. This is what they say. Though you are master of might, although you're the all-powerful God, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. And you taught your people by these deeds that those who are just must be kind. And you gave your children good grounds for hope that you would permit repentance for their sins. So these are people who are leaving the Jewish community for the culture, and God is patient with them, calling them back to himself. That God judges with clemency. We don't use that word very much, but clemency means to be tender and to be soft. And it says here, you judge with much leniency. To be lenient means not to be strict, right? And you give us hope for repentance by not condemning us for our sins. So we can expect today's Gospels to be a lesson in the patience and mercy, the clemency and the leniency of God. Okay? So with that in mind, we turn to today's Gospel, where Jesus tells us some stories, tells us three stories or parables that help us to understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Okay? So it begins by saying, Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, the kingdom of God may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now, the first thing we have to understand is what Jesus meant by the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Because we would have a natural tendency to think that Jesus is talking about what it's going to be like in heaven, right? When we get there, this is what heaven's going to be like. But that's not what the scriptures mean when they refer to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. They're really talking about what it's like when God is in charge, when God reigns. So he's saying here, this is what God is like in your lives as his children. So it's about our present life that these stories help us to understand. So the first story is about a man who has a farm, and he has his helpers go out and cast good seed on the ground. And in the middle of the night, his enemy comes and mixes the ground with bad seed. And after a while, when things begin to grow, the farmers notice that there's weeds along with the wheat, and they go to the master of the field and they say, now let us tear up the weeds, because your enemy has done this to you. And if those weeds grow up along with the wheat, they're going to choke out the wheat and the harvest is going to be diminished. Sound like a good plan, doesn't it? Because that's what happens. You know, the reason why farmers use pesticide and also, what do you call the poison for plants? Herbicides, I guess. You know, is because insects eat the plants and weeds choke out the plant. They don't grow as much. They don't produce as much. So it sounds like a good plan. But the owner of the field says, no, don't do that. Because if you rip up the weeds, there's a tendency to also tear up the wheat. And, you know, this really does apply to this case, because scripture scholars tell us that the kind of weed this passage is speaking about is probably darnel or darnel, which is a plant that looks very much like wheat when it's very young, but it tends to destroy the wheat because it mixes its roots, intertwines its roots with the roots of the wheat plant and chokes out its growth. But the master says, no, let them both grow together. And when it's time for the harvest, I'll send the harvesters into the field and they'll tear up the weeds and bind them together and throw them in the fire and then bring in the harvest. And that's supposed to be a story that tells us what God's reign is like, what the kingdom of God is like. So what does it mean? Well, it's a lesson for us that God is patient with the world and with the church and with each one of us when it comes to sin. No. Most of us are like the farmers who wanted to tear up the wheat. I mean, the weeds, right? And take them out right away. We're more interested in doing that with the weeds in our neighbor's lives than in our own, of course. You know, we tend to be blind to our own sins and weaknesses. Many of us like to weed other people's gardens, especially our husband or our wife or our children or our parents or our friends, rather than to weed our own garden. But God shows an immense patience with us, a patience beyond what we ordinarily think makes sense. And He allows the good and the bad to exist together, to coexist together. In another passage, Jesus says God allows the sun and the rain to shine and fall on the good as well as the bad. And the reason for that is because God is very, very patient with our sins. So it's a correction for us who tend to be impatient, sometimes with our own sins. You know, a sign of that is perfectionism. If you're a perfectionist, you aren't patient with yourselves, right? You want to be perfect, and you're very disappointed if things don't go perfectly well. That's a sign of a lack of patience with oneself, really. And in many other cases, perhaps more cases, we are impatient with other people. We want to correct them immediately, rather than giving them the time that they need to actually grow and develop. So that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's different than our ordinary way of thinking, this extraordinary patience that God has with us. But He also expects us to have that kind of patience with one another, right? And so we ask the Lord to teach us a lesson in patience with our neighbors, with our family, and with our friends. Then Jesus tells a second story about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And in this story, He says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which is a very small seed. You know, if you get whole grain mustard, you can see those seeds in the mustard, right? There's those little dark brown spots. And Jesus says, although that seed is very small when you plant it in the ground, eventually, if you're patient, it grows and becomes a plant big enough for the birds of the air to land and to make nests in it. And He's telling us that's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what it's like when God reigns in the world. Now, He begins in our lives with our baptism by giving us those gifts of faith, hope, and charity I spoke about at the beginning, and is very patient with us, gives us a life where we can allow those graces, those gifts to grow into something wonderful. So we have to trust and have patience in the gifts of God growing in our lives. So if you're frustrated by your sins, it's important to be repentant, but it's also important to know that things can be better tomorrow. And there's no sin that can overtake you when God is on your side, and God can help you overcome whatever sins you might have in your lives. It sometimes takes a while, it takes a long time, but good things happen with those who allow the patient God to deal with us in His extraordinary way of loving us. And then the third story that Jesus tells about the kingdom of God is a story about a woman who took, I think it says, 3 measures of wheat flour. You know how much flour that is? That's 60 pounds of flour. That's a lot of flour, you know. And so she takes 60 pounds of flour and mixes yeast in the flour. And what eventually happens is the yeast, which is almost invisible when you start, begins to give the grow and give off gases. And that eventually becomes the kind of bread that we all love to eat. But you don't see the yeast. And at the beginning, it doesn't look like anything's going to happen. And if you play around with the bread before it rises, it doesn't really become the kind of bread that we all like and that you want it to be. So this is another lesson from God, that the kingdom of God is a time of patience. And it's going to be effective if we just allow the grace of God to work its way in our lives. So each one of these stories is a story about the patience of God, the importance of being patient with ourselves, and the importance about being patient with others. Okay? But that's not the end of the story. Because Jesus Himself takes His disciples at the end of telling these stories to the house and sits them down and gives his own interpretation of the gospel of the wheat and the weeds. And this is very interesting. This is important too, because finally, this gospel parable is a story about the judgment of God. It's not just a story about God's patience, but it's also a story that patience does not go on forever. Listen to the words of Jesus and take them seriously. This is what he says. The Son of Man will send his angels at the end of time, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then Jesus gives a very strong sentence of warning when he says, whoever has ears ought to hear. You know, that's one of the complaints of Jesus throughout the Gospels, that his disciples and others had ears but they couldn't hear, they have eyes but they couldn't see. In other words, they didn't really pay close attention to what he was saying and allow it to impact their lives. You know, we can be so grateful for the message of patience that is clearly a part of today's gospel reading that we also miss the fact that there's an end, that death is the point in our lives where God makes judgment. We're not supposed to judge each other, but God will always judge us. And God expects us to respond to the graces that he gives us. Our lives make a difference. What we do determines our eternity. And it's possible, if we don't cooperate in a positive way with the grace of God, if we don't allow faith, hope, and charity to grow in the field of our life, that we will be among those who are described as who cause others to sin. Have you ever done that? And all the evildoers. Have you ever done evil? I think we all are guilty of that. You know, if we don't repent and change our lives, we stand in jeopardy of the judgment of being separated from God. You know, God is wonderfully merciful, but God is also wonderfully just and expects us to respond to his actions in our lives. So, you and I are part of the kingdom of God. Our lives are a field where there's good and evil mixed together. We ask the Lord to help us pull the weeds out of our own lives, right? Rather than the lives of others, so that his word might grow. And knowing that he loves us, we can be confident unless we turn our backs and walk away. May God give us the grace of conversion. Amen.